Reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is in giving generously, then if it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. For it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are called to be living sacrifices. We are called to walk in your will. And so this morning, as we listen to what the Apostle Paul really is telling us, as he speaks the words in Romans, and I pray, Lord, as the Holy Spirit guides me and gives me the words this morning, that we would hear and then apply what we need to our own lives. And so we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to begin by, maybe I mentioned this last week, but my sister's left, got rid of her, finally. No, I'm joking. I had a great time. And I just want to thank you as a church. She enjoyed being in this church. She is now Facebook friends of the church, and maybe some of you too, I hear. And she saw the vendor fair, and she said, looks like you're having fun. And then she posted, I think, miss you, Wally, because there was a relationship going on there between Wally and my sister. So, you know, we've been going through the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 12. If you can think back with me, it's been a long time. I'll let you know, we're going to end Romans by the end of May. I think it's in May or June. Vicky, what did I say? Do you remember what I told you? June. Sorry, Vicky keeps me on the straight and narrow because I give her all this stuff ahead of time. Think so it's June, right? But a lot of Paul's talk has been some really deep theological stuff and understanding. And now we come to chapter 12, and I think he gets, he's saying, now I've given you all this stuff, now this is how you apply it. This is how it gets practical. And so we come to Romans chapter 12, and he begins by, I love this. He says, therefore, I urge you. Urging is like encouraging, exhorting. Paul saying, you've been listening to me, church. You've been hearing my words. Now I'm going to urge you to act upon it. I'm going to call you to make a choice about the way you live your life. A lot of us can quote a lot of scripture. And I was pretty good when I was younger, young people, when your age, memorizing scripture. I was pretty good at doing it. Over time, maybe some of you can relate, I just can't memorize much. But we have all this knowledge as Christians. And Paul now is saying, you have everything I've given you. I want to urge you now, brothers and sisters, he says, in view of God's mercy, now to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship. He begins by saying, in view of God's mercy. And if we go back all the way through the first 11 chapters of Romans, here's what we hear about Paul explaining God's mercy. He says, you have justification from guilt and penalty of sin. You were adopted in Jesus and you identify with him. You're placed under grace, not the law. You have the Holy Spirit to live within you. You have promise of help in affliction. You have assurance of standing as God's elect. You are confident of the coming glory. You are confident that nothing can separate you from the love of God. You are confident in God and his faithfulness. Paul says, you have seen God's mercy in the past, in the present, and the future. Past, present, and future. And since we have all experienced God's mercy, he's saying now you need to live it. And how do you do it? You offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Paul's contrasting a little bit between the physical sacrifices of the Old Testament and the spiritual sacrifices of the New Testament. You remember in the Old Testament, they were used to coming to worship, and they would bring their lambs without blemish and their doves and whatever, and they would sacrifice that. Now Paul is saying we need to sacrifice, and he talks about offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. What's Paul talking about? Is it just our fleshly bodies? No, he's talking about our entire being, our spirit, our soul, our flesh, our minds. Offering everything to him as a living sacrifice. What Paul wants is a living sacrifice brought living to the altar. In the Old Testament, they would kill the animal, bring it to the altar and burn it, and they'd have a burnt offering. What Paul is asking now is for a living sacrifice. Not to make a sacrifice, but to be a sacrifice. And what type of sacrifice? Something that is holy and pleasing to God. In the area of holiness, it means burning away those impurities that we might have in our life. Impurities, those things that aren't good about who we are. Does anybody have those at all? Anybody here? You want to admit? I have a lot. And Paul says, you offer your whole lives, who you are, offer it all as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And listen to this. He says, this is what is your true and what? Proper worship. That's how you worship God, is by offering your whole lives. Worship is more than just coming into the sanctuary here on Sunday mornings and placing your bodies in the pew. It's more than that. It's more than opening the hymn book and singing a song. It's more than all that. It's about our whole being, offering our lives as a sacrifice to God, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. That doesn't mean we got to be perfect before we offer our lives. Because if we waited till we were perfect, no one would be able to offer their lives to God, would they? But God's looking for us to do that. And how do we do that? Paul gives us right there in verse 2. He says, you offer your lives as a sacrifice by not being what? Conformed to the pattern of this world, but being what? Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. After our sacrifice to God, this living sacrifice, we will be distinguished by this characteristic. There is something different about us in our lives. People will know there's something different about us. First thing they'll notice is this, that we're not conformed to the pattern of this world. That means the world system, the popular culture, doesn't conform us. It shouldn't hold us in. You know, it's pretty easy, isn't it, to be conformed to the pattern of the world, right? What are some of the things that the world, you know, like, be first, right? Be first. Look out for yourself. You're number one. Don't care about anybody else. Paul says, don't be conformed to this pattern of the world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Transformed, another word, is a metamorphosis, a change. We must think different. We must think different. And how do we think different? We think different through the Word of God. This is what transforms our minds. If you're turning on the devices, I don't have my phone with me. Awesome, that's good. But if you're turning on those devices, those phones and those computers, and you're spending 90%, and I do that a lot. I'll check, see, who's winning the Masters, you know? That's good. We can check into things. But we letting things of the world control us. We're tuned in. We don't renew our minds. If we give the rest of the world a lot of our time during the week, but we give very little time to God's Word, very little time to renewing our minds, then we won't be able to be transformed as Paul encouraged us to be by the renewing of your mind. Sometimes people are, they base their lives on just feelings alone. Just feelings alone. They wake up in the morning and I don't feel very good today. I don't feel very good about my job or my spouse. It's a feeling. You know people like that? It's all about feeling. And then there are people that are about doing. You know, just tell me what to do. Give me 4 points. Give me the 7 keys, right? 4 points of how to live this, 7 keys to do this. The renewing of our mind is something different. It's not based on our feelings. It's not based on doing. But it's based on God's Word. What is true, what is right, what is pleasing. What does Paul say? Then you will be able to what? Test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let me put it this way. It's God's will is what matters in our life. Nothing else should matter. But what is your will, God, for me today? What is your will for me, how I approach a situation today? I mentioned about prayer tonight for me in a situation I'm going to be facing somebody I haven't talked to in a while. And I want God's will to happen. Not my little sometimes selfish will. Because we have those sometimes. You know, I want what pleases me, what makes me feel good. But it's God's will that matters. A renewed mind can put into action the will of God. Did you hear that? A renewed mind can put into action the will of God. So we need to resist conforming to the thoughts and to the actions of the world. That means maybe now and then we need to shut off the news for the day so that doesn't control us. But we need to focus on God's word and fellowship with him, which transforms our minds. Then your life will be in the will of God. Then your life will prove this, what is good and what is pleasing and what is perfect. Not saying we will always be perfect, but God's will be perfect. But living all this out, being a living sacrifice, Paul now kind of makes it a little more practical beginning in verse 3. He says, okay, you have this living sacrifice. You're offering your whole life to God. You're not conforming to the pattern of the world. And then he goes in verse 3, for by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not what? Listen to this. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Anybody ever get caught up in thinking of themselves a little more highly than they think they should? Yeah, I've been caught up that many times in my life. You know, when I was in my good old college hockey days, I thought I was the next best thing to Wayne Gretzky. Well, I got put in my place pretty fast. You know, we have this, you know, I'm pretty good. I think of myself, whatever. What does Paul say? He says, think above with sober judgment, right? With sober judgment. I'll tell you what, when I begin to really think about who I am, yeah, I can be put in my place. Not thinking of ourselves more highly, but seeing ourselves as we really are. Who we really are. Broken people who need God's love and grace and mercy. Right? Not perfect. You know, I joke around with some of you, and I have my business card, and I said on the back, remember Bernie, she was sitting with yesterday, and I had my business cards out. And I said, I should put on there the what? The imperfect pastor. And that's who we are. We're imperfect people. So Paul says, don't think yourself more highly than you ought. And then he begins to say in verse 4, each of us are of one body. Now he's talking to us, the church, Christians here. We are one body. We have many members. But we all don't have the same function, right? So when Christ, through many, we form one body, and each member belongs to each other. We all have different functions within the body of Christ. There's diversity. Not everybody can sing like this choir can sing. Oh, how I long to be up there, Alan. That's not her fault. I'm just joking with her. But I don't have, that's not my gift. You know, somebody said, oh, your sister sang so beautiful. And I was going to say, yeah, she learned it from me. But that would be that lie. That would be looking a little more highly of myself, right? But Paul says, we're all part of this one body. We're a church. We're a unified whole. We're distinct. We're different, but we have unity. And I love it that we're all different, right? And what's our common thing? The common thing that we have together is Christ, the common ground. But we're all different. And then Paul says in verse 6, we all have different gifts. I loved it. Were you reading some of my sermon stuff, Bob? Awesome job. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Paul talks about prophesying. Well, first of all, going back to the gifts. We have gifts according to the grace given to us. Do you hear that? Spiritual gifts are not given on the basis of merit. Okay? Oh, I deserve this gift, God, because I'm so good. I'm so great at this. I deserve this gift. But God chooses to give gifts to those he wants to give. And so he lists a few here, Paul does. He says, if you have the gift of prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. He means practice it in proportion to your faith. Speak in faith if you have that gift. Trust that God has really spoken to you. This prophesying is more about foretelling than foretelling. Did you hear that? It's more about foretelling than foretelling. Prophecy isn't all about predicting the future, but it's prophesying about what God has done in your life and what he wants to do in others people's lives, and trusting that God will give you those words to speak. And then he says, if it's serving, then serve. And that's what we saw yesterday. That's what we saw at the vendor fair. We were talking about some of our young people and everybody else here, that if you've been the gift of serving, then you serve. Serve in practical ways. If it's teaching, then teach. Teach. Instruct. But encourage people to practice what they've been taught. So we're so good at the aspect of teaching, we want to give people so much knowledge, which is good, but then we need to explain to them, how do you live that knowledge out? And then if it's to encourage, then give encouragement. It means build people up. One of the best people, and I'm not saying this because she's my mother had that gift of encouragement. She knew how to build people up and just be around them and just to love them no matter where they were at. I mean, she had to love us as kids. She had to love my dad. That was a big one. No. But she had the gift of encouragement. I remember one situation, my brother was in a relationship that my mother believed that he shouldn't be in. And someone said to her, well, if you pray for that relationship to fall apart, you better be there for your son. And that relationship fell apart. And my mom heard those words, and she was there to encourage and build up my brother during those hard times. And there are people here in our own body that need encouragement. So if you have that gift of encouragement, use it. Build up people. Encourage them. Your pastor needs it many days, you know. He needs a kick, but he also needs encouragement. And then Paul says, if it's to give, then give generously. Give generously. Go all out in your giving. Right? Sometimes don't even let people know that you're giving. Because remember, Jesus said, you know, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, but do it in secret, you know, so they can not praise you or whatever. But give. Give generously. Paul talks about leading. To lead diligently. As you lead, not wanting to give up. Leaders can go through so much. That's why we need to continue to pray for the leadership of our church. Anybody that you know that leads, it's a hard thing because there are times they want to give up. We need to pray that leaders will persevere, that they will please God with their leadership as they lead. I tell people, I'm not always going to please you out there. Okay? That's not my job, per se, to please you. It's to please God. Hopefully, it'll please you in a way. But I've learned many years ago in the pastoral ministry that I cannot be a people pleaser, because it will tear me apart if I try to please each person to a certain degree. I want to encourage, I want to build up, I want to lift up, but I want to please God. And that should be in our own lives, pleasing God as we lead. And then Paul says, if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What are you talking about, Paul? Well, here's what Paul's saying. Sometimes you want to show mercy to people, and it's hard. Because it's that same person coming to you all the time with the same issue, and you don't know how to respond. And Paul's saying, respond cheerfully. Do it in a cheerful manner. Do not do it grudgingly. Do it from the heart. Be cheerful. Depend on the Holy Spirit. A living sacrifice. That's what God wants. He wants us to be a living sacrifice because it's holy and pleasing to him. And it's our proper and true worship. So as you go out this week, keep that in your mind. How am I being a living sacrifice to God? How am I not conforming to the pattern of the world? How am I renewing my mind? What are the things I'm thinking about during the day? What are the things I'm listening to, watching, reading? Is it renewing my mind or is it making me more angry? And there's many things in our world today that can make us more angry, right? Just turn on some whatever. Let's prove what God's will is, his perfect and pleasing and perfect will. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, would you help us to be that living sacrifice that we are called to be? Help us, Lord, to live our lives out in a way that is pleasing to you. Oh, Lord, don't let the world transform us and conform us to what it wants to do. But, Lord, may we allow your holy word to renew us and enter our minds and our bodies. And, Lord, that we may live out this life and live it in the church. As Paul talks about, that we all have different gifts and functions in the church, but we're all unified together in one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, help us that we would have these gifts in our lives, that if we have the gift of prophecy, that we would use it wisely and with the faith we need. If we have the gift of serving, that we would serve others, especially those that are the least of these. That if we have the gift of teaching, that we would continue to teach diligently. That we would encourage, that we would give, that we would show mercy to people who need to feel mercy. God, thank you that you've shown all this to us. The mercies of God have been placed upon us. Now may we go forth and be the living sacrifice that we are called to be. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord is with you as you leave this place today. Nothing will happen to us this week that God is not aware of, nor that God cannot help us with as no other. So go then in full confidence of God's loving presence and in the peace that provides the quiet collectedness of the inner life. For it is through God the Father that we live. In Christ Jesus we are redeemed, and by the Holy Spirit we are led and kept. Until in heaven or on earth, until we meet again. Amen.